album.
Smelly in the Morning.
BBC Radio Merseyside.
Now, from today and every Friday, we're going to start a new feature for you. It's called Sci Fry. That's what we're going to call it. It stands for Science Fridays. If you hadn't guessed, you probably worked it out yourself. It's going to be a chance to celebrate all that Merseyside has to offer from the world of science. It's happening on our doorstep. This, we'll be speaking with the experts from the School of Tropical Medicine, University of Liverpool, John Moores University, all famous for their know-how and world-leading development. So if you want to know if you can travel through a black hole, or why some people react to insect bites more than others, or whether the advertising in your local pub really does influence what you drink and what you will buy, then this will be the place on a Friday. So first off, I've got to introduce you to Professor Sergei Huich from John Moore Uni. He's going to tell us how he's teamed up with Knowsley Safari Park and used drone technology to help save animals right across the world. Sergei, morning to you.
Good morning.
I've given you a great big build-up. You're our guinea pig, so there's no pressure.
No, thank you.
Drone technology, this is fairly new, isn't it, to the likes of members of the public, and we normally just see them when they're in the news for all the wrong reasons. Mm. Tell me about drone technology.
Yeah, drone technology is quite new. We started about 7 years ago with using it. So it's fairly new for the public, but also fairly new for science. For me, it started by building them in at home.
You just build your own drone?
Yeah, back in the days, I built them myself in my home. That didn't go down that well with the family. It got a little bit messy.
Yeah, and noisy probably.
Noisy by testing, and the neighbors were friendly. I could fly on their land. And now at the university, we have a whole team of people building drones. So that's been a huge boon for me.
And what's so special about the drones that you use compared to the drones that you can buy for $39.99 and then fly them into a tree? What's the difference to the ones that you actually use?
The ones we use are a little larger.
Yeah.
And we often build them ourselves at the university. We have a team of people doing that. And we put sensors on those drones that we use specifically to try to help conservation. So we call them conservation drones,
right,
to give them that connotation as well.
How can the drones help with conservation? How does that work?
Well, conservation is really want to know where animals are, so we can try to monitor those. Usually we go on foot, we spend months in the forest, which is all great, but it's very costly.
This is around the world,
isn't it? This is around the world, Indonesia, Tanzania, and many other places. And drones can now help us to count those animals more efficiently. We can fly over those areas and look at the pictures and pick up the animals or their signs. In addition, we often want to monitor how their habitat is changing, whether there's people logging or not. So we use them for that as well. We can fly over, take pictures, and get a very high detailed image of what's happening there.
Well, that was going to be a question, because these drones are quite high-pitched in tone, aren't they, in the sound that they make. Would that not spook the animals, or do you fly so high they don't notice?
There are some animals that get a little bit spooked in the beginning by them. Some birds do. Some of the larger mammals don't really care too much about them. The rhinos tend to ignore them.
They ignore everything. Yeah. The rhinos. They're not bothered.
They're big and they're just cool. So
when you get this information, presumably the sensors on there, there's high-end cameras on there as well, because there's no point, you know, throwing this drone up in the air if you've got a really rubbish camera on there. So you get all of this information, and then what do you do with the information there?
So we're trying to automate the analyses of those images, because if you have to go through all thousands of images manually, it becomes very, very boring very, very quickly. The first 10 images are great. The first 100, you're like, oh no. And then you're like, oh, somebody needs to automate
it. It's just another antelope then, really, isn't
it? Exactly. You know, or just another photo without an antelope, just with trees and you're in grass.
And what about, you can see the animals, but presumably, you mentioned loggers before. What about poachers as well? Can you keep an eye on people who are killing elephants for the tusks, for their ivory? Can you do that as well?
That's what we're trying to do. And to do that, we're specifically focusing on thermal cameras, so cameras that pick up the heat signal.
Ah,
so
okay.
Even when people are moving, when it's dark, we can pick them up. And that's one of the things we have a lot of focus on. So how can you detect these people? When do you detect them? Do you detect them if they're under a tree or not? How high do you need to fly? Can we automate this? These are all things we're focusing on, so we can help the rangers to get the poachers, but also importantly to help the rangers protect themselves.
Mm.
More than 100 rangers get killed in the line of duty every year.
Wow.
Around the world, and those numbers need to come down because it's a very dangerous job. And if drones can help them to protect themselves and to prevent poaching of animals, we make a big step forward.
You're a pilot then, presumably. You're a drone pilot.
And
you fly this, you'll fly back home again. What happens if, and, you know, forgive me if it's a stupid question, but what happens if the battery starts to go and the drone says, "My battery's going, I'm just going to land right here in the middle of a pride of lions"? what happens then? What goes on then?
Well, if that would happen, that wouldn't be good for the drone, but normally we can prevent that because we have live feedback from the drone,
right,
that gives us information what the battery capacity is, how long we can still fly.
So you'll bring it home then?
And we'll bring it home. And we carefully plan our flight,
sure.
so this shouldn't really happen.
Have you ever been in any sticky situations like that, though, at all?
I've been in sticky situations, not so much with drone flying, but more with just being out there in those areas. In Sumatra, I bumped into a tiger with two cubs, and I luckily survived.
What do you do? Do you just lie low, or do you just,
you
just back off?
I just stood there, and in my recollection, it took minutes. It was probably only a few seconds, but it was very scary.
Yeah.
And same thing with elephants, and unfortunately, sometimes people as well.
Send in the drones is the way, isn't it?
It can be a lot safer.
Exactly. Where are you from, by the way? I can tell you're not from Walton.
No, I'm from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam.
Okay, and how are you enjoying life in Liverpool?
Good. It's a great city. It's a great university. I'm being from the Netherlands, I like the ocean. I like the history of Liverpool and all the maritime parts of it. Mm-hmm. The university has been really great so far in supporting my work, growing the group, and I don't think I could have achieved what I have any other place.
That's very kind of you to say. It's great when a little door opens onto your world, and it's happening on our doorstep here in Liverpool. I've got to ask you this question as well. Where do you practice? Because you can't go out into the Serengeti or wherever and practice there. Do you practice in the local park? Is it Knowsley Safari Park?
Yeah, we work a lot with Knowsley because their setting is as close as we can get to a setting in Africa.
Yeah.
So they collaborate with us. So we fly there, we collect the footage there, and then we analyze it. And that's great for us researchers. It's also great for our students. We have a globally unique master's in wildlife conservation and UAV and drone technology.
Yeah.
So our master students can go there. We also take the master students to Tanzania for 2 weeks, so they see drones fly in a real situation.
Situation.
Yeah. So
we're out of time. It's fascinating to talk to you, and we have to watch it if we're thinking about buying drones, because the legislation's changed now, isn't it? You know, flying it near airports, and there'll be GPS built into it, so it literally won't fly in certain places. This is a good thing, isn't it?
It's a very good thing. Yeah, drones need to be regulated so everybody flies safely there's no accidents with them.
All right. Sergei, great to meet you. Thank you very much indeed. And you're going to send one of your colleagues next week as well, and we'll do some more on Sci-Fi on a Friday on BBC Radio Merseyside. Really lovely to talk to you.
Excellent.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Can relax now. What's scarier, being on the radio or being with the Tigers? Probably being on the radio, really, isn't it? It's nearly 9 o'clock. Good morning. Yeah.